The Lord has taken. We want to sing it one more time and mean it from the depths of your heart. Reach out. Reach out like blind Bartimaeus, reach out. Reach out like the woman with the blood of issue, reach out. Tonight may be your time. Tonight may be your moment. So as you sing this song, let your faith reach out to the Lord. The Lord, don't pass by me tonight. The Lord, I'm just reaching out to you. Lord, you know the need of my heart. You know the need in my soul. He's ready to hear your heart cry. If that cry is a cry of faith, he's ready to hear you tonight. Meant your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I see those. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we bless your name tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for this day, for the gift of life. Heavenly Father, for your blessings that have been on us from morning to this evening time. We want to thank you for making it possible for us to gather together under your feet. Heavenly Father, to fellowship, O God, around the word of God that you've sent to us in this our day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you be with us, Lord, wherever we have been, whether the marketplace, the office, the workplace, school. Heavenly Father, you've watched over us, and therefore we have every reason to thank you tonight for making it possible again for us to be in your divine presence, to have this wonderful time of fellowship. We pray that may you come and bless us. Heavenly Father, may you reach out unto us as we are singing, that, Lord, none of us will leave here the same as we came. But we'll go back, Lord, knowing that indeed the Lord has been good to us. We thank you once again. Come and have your own way. For this our prayer of all faith. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we be seated? Amen. So tonight, I want to say God richly bless you all. And thank you for making it to the service. One minister that has passed and been to glory made a statement. His statement was that if you love the church, you are in church on Sunday. If you love the pastor, you are in church maybe one of the midweek days. But if you love Christ, then you never miss any of the services. So we want to thank God for being here tonight. Like Brother Sam said, hallelujah, I'm from End Time Tabernacle Allah. And fellowship Pastor David and Brother Timothy Ashon. So we want to thank the ministers here. I know they've passed our way several times. And there are many times they say, oh, you have to visit us, you have to visit us. And so I want to thank God that he made a way for me to visit. This is my second time in Ibadan. The first time I was in Ibadan was 1980. I wasn't in the message then, a very young teenager. I finished my O levels, and my senior brother was here. And I thought, oh, we'll visit. My senior sister was also here. At the time, she was staying on somewhere on Iwo Road. So we visited, did some work here, just to gather some few naira, go back, and continue school. And so that was my first time being in Ibadan here. So it's been a long time coming back, 45 years ago, exactly around this same time that I was here. Praise the Lord. A year later on, after I've been to Ibadan in secondary school, was when I came across the message of the hour. Amen. We were born, our parents were Pentecostals, so we were born and raised up in the Church of Pentecost, something that is very close to the message. Praise the Lord. Later on, I realized that my father even knew about this message because he had some old Pentecostal friends that left the Church of Pentecost to follow the message of the hour. So it was unusual circumstances that I came across this message. And I want to thank God that He's kept me all the way here. In my secondary school time, I was a leader. Those of you around my age, in the 70s, 80s, in secondary school, we have what we call the Scripture Union. And so we are all members of the Scripture Union. I was the leader of the Scripture Union in my school then. But I came across the message in very strange circumstances, because the Scripture Union has organized a symposium. And somebody asked a question about William Branham. And that was the first time I heard the name William Branham. And it was very, very negative response that was being said about William Branham. But being the leader of the Scripture Union in my school, those of you that were members, or if you are acquainted with Scripture Union, they have something we call the Daily Guide, similar to what Brother Tim Dodd has put together. So you read a portion of the Scripture every day, and then there are some notes that you read. And that week, prior to the symposium, the Scripture, the Daily Guide was looking at John chapter 7. And so it was very fresh in my mind, where they've sent people to go and arrest Jesus, and there was division. Some say it was a prophet, some say it was not a prophet, and all that was going on. And so they came back, and the Pharisees were asking him, "Where is Jesus?" That is John chapter 7. And they said, why haven't you brought him? And so as they were saying all of that, Nicodemus said something to them. He said that our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth. So even though I didn't know about William Branham, when all the conversation was going on from the Scripture Union patrons, that is a false prophet, a taught predestination, he said women shouldn't preach, serpent seed and all of those things, this scripture kept ringing in my heart. Can you judge a man without first hearing him? So school vacated. That was June ending 1981. I went home preparing for my advanced level, and I had a friend. So we studied together. And one day, whilst leaving his house, I saw on his bookshelf In the Days of the Voice, In the Days of the Voice, a lot of them, William Marion Branham. So I say, "Brother Nathaniel, do you mind if I borrow a couple of these books to go and read?" But my intention at the time was to read those books and find out some of the false doctrines William Branham preached. That was my intention of taking the books to read. Because as a leader of the Scripture Union in my school, I felt that if I'm going to say anything about the man William Branham, based on what I've heard in the symposium, I want to be absolutely sure of what I am saying, not hearsay, not because some dignitary have said it, not because some pastor have said it, not because somebody else have said, but what I have heard myself. Praise the Lord. So I looked through his bookshelf. I picked two books, Anointed Ones at the End Time, and then Recognizing Your Day and this message. And the reason I pick Anointed Ones at the End Time, because being a Pentecostal, we are used to anointing. So it appealed to me, so I picked the book, I went home, I started reading it, and Brother Branham talking about people having the Holy Ghost and still going to hell. And I thought, wow, maybe what they said about this man must be true after all. But he went on to say that I'll prove to you by the scriptures. And I thought, well, then let's go on. Prove to me by the Bible. Praise the Lord. And he started Matthew 5, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Went to Hebrews chapter 6, gave examples in the scriptures. And I thought, man, is this the man people say is a false prophet? Because by the time I finished reading that message book, It's answered a lot of questions I had in the Godhead. A whole lot of things, and some of the things happening around, even in my own local church, where my father was the presiding elder. A lot of those things were answered. And I thought, okay. So the next day I picked the next message, recognizing your day and its message. And as I read it, talking about the third day, natural Israel back in the homeland, and all of those things, just the scripture became alive. Amen. And so I went to Brother Nathaniel. I said, where do you go to church? So we went to church together. That day, saw Brother David was around 23, 24, preaching. And I've never heard a preacher preach with such conviction. No, people preach, they may not even believe what they preach. But you hear somebody preaching, and you know that they believe what they are preaching. I went back home, and of course, I started asking questions in my local Pentecostal church. Because the more I read, the more the questions came. So I started asking questions. Hallelujah. In the Church of Pentecost, we have youth meetings on a certain day. My dad was then old, so he doesn't go to the youth meeting. But then, unknown to me, feedback went to him. So one early morning, he called me. And he said, I've heard you be asking a lot of questions at when you go to the youth meeting. I said, yes, because there are questions that are bothering me. And the answers they give to me is not Bible-based. They said, that is what the church teaches. And I said, no, show me in scripture. So he asked me, what is happening to you? And I said, well, I've come across the message of William Branham. And unknown to me, when we were very young in Takwa, there was a gentleman called T.K. Osei. He's now in the U.S., a message believer. I was one of the very first people when the message came to the Hallelujah Inn in Ghana, when Tim Dillard and co. came. So he went there and he took a couple of the message books. And he was a youth leader in the Church of Pentecost, so he stopped. But he was a very good friend of my dad. So he gave him some of the message books. And so when I told him, my dad said something. That was the first time I heard the story of the eagle and the chicken. So my dad told me, you know, this message that you have believed or you've come across, you will not feel comfortable in the Church of Pentecost anymore. I didn't know what he was thinking about. But I said, if you find anywhere that they believe this, and you want to go fellowship there, I will not stand in your way. Praise the Lord. So I said, thank you, old man. And so that, because I've heard, when I started going, sneaking and going, I heard stories of how parents really were against their children coming to the message. So when my dad said that to me, it was an encouragement. So I started going full swing. And I think my last time in the Church of Pentecost, those days in 81, I went to church as usual. And I said I wanted to give a testimony. So I was given the time to give a testimony. My testimony was brief. My testimony was that, look, this is the last time you see me in church. It's not that I am backsliding. It's not that I've left following Jesus Christ. But I've come across a message that has lifted Christ higher than anything that I have known. And I want to go fellowship there. So I want to thank you all, the young people, the leaders, for how you helped me this far. But it's time to move on. Hallelujah. And so from that time, I just moved on. And by God's grace, just carrying on till now. That was all in 1981. Praise the Lord. And in 1983, 2 years later, because if God placed a gift in you, no matter what you do, you can't run away from it. Yeah, so 2 years down the line, I just felt the call of God in my heart. I was then based in Kumasi because I was attending the university there with Pastor Jim. I told him that I think that I want to get into the ministry. And so the opportunity was given in 83. Thank God he ordained me and we started there. And God has kept us all the way to this time. Praise the Lord. So later on along the line, I think, were you in Kumasi in 1985? You can't really hear. But that was the first time I crossed paths with Pastor Martin because he was in Ghana and they brought him to Kumasi to preach to us at the Kumasi church. Praise the Lord. And that was the first time our paths crossed. And then until I traveled, came back, settled in Accra in 2011, and then sort of got back to Pastor David's church, and I've been there since supporting the work of the ministry there. So then I got to know Brother Sam, Brother Babalola, and all of them kept passing through, and I was always wishing in my heart that one day we'll be able to reciprocate the visit. Praise the Lord. And so that is who I am. Maybe one who is speaking to you tonight. But before I even go to my message, I want to pay a tribute to one of your gallant soldiers that made such an impact on my life in 1982. He was Brother David Akisenya. Praise the Lord. Because it was early days for me, and those days were a lot of things were flying about, seven thunders not revealed, seven thunders, seven veils, and the whole lot was just going on in Ghana. And I was teaching in a town called Tema. And so I was fellowship with Brother Daniel Kuamua Boatin, also of blessed memory. And so one evening I went to church after teaching. And here was this man we introduced from Nigeria called Brother David Akisenya, and he was going to preach to us that evening. And so he came to the pulpit, and he had the message book, What is That Fashion on the Mountain? He didn't preach, he was just reading. But we were all just excited. And along the line, he said, no, I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the message book. And you're all getting excited about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the key thing that I pick up from that service was we have got only one voice in this our day. There may be all kinds of voices around, but there's only one voice. And if there's any doubt, go back to the message. And some of the quotes you read from the message, what is that fraction of the mountain? What was God doing in this our day? God fulfilling his word of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And those things helped me along the line. Because when you bump into people that are telling you all sorts, you can go by and say, this is what the prophet said. And that was when I began to see the importance of reading the message books. If you are here, please read the message book. If you've got the opportunity to listen to the tape, listen to it. We've been reading and listening to the tape long ago. It's not now. That today is almost becoming a doctrine. You have to play. We've been listening to it long ago. Hallelujah. Maybe people have found it now. That is all right. But the tapes and the books do not replace the fivefold ministry. Let me just read a scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm not preaching yet. Second Peter chapter 3. Listen to what Peter said concerning the epistles of Paul. Peter, an apostle. Second Peter 3, from verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which are in which some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Peter acknowledging that even some of the things Paul wrote, they are hard to understand. And people are wrestling with it to their own destruction. And that is why God has placed the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints. Until we are all in the measure of Christ. That is what the scripture says. Praise the name of the Lord. So we've been reading the books and listening to the tapes for a long time. It's not just today somebody will tell you read the books and listen to the tapes and just come and play the tapes and go home. No. Praise the name of the Lord. So I'm very glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Martin, for the opportunity. Thank you, Brother Sam, for never giving up. Always say, Brother Isaac, you need to come, and I'm glad to be here this evening. So God bless you all. And shalom to you all. We want to stand and read from the book of St. Luke, chapter 2. St. Luke, chapter 2, we'll read from verse 21. And shall we pray even as we approach the word of God? Our Heavenly Father, once again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for this opportunity to read from your word. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never, ever fail. And so as we tend to read a portion of your word and then encourage ourselves, our prayer is that may you come, Lord, and bless us. You told us that there's a blessing in reading and hearing of the word. So let those blessings be our portion tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, when thou hast prepared, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall be seated. So once again, God richly bless you all. And tonight I want to just encourage the church on the message, living with expectation. Living with expectation. Hallelujah. We are living in a time. We are living in a dispensation We are living in an hour where we must constantly be under expectation. Praise the Lord. Because the day of the Lord is upon us. We are living in the shadows of the coming of the Lord. When we see all the events that are happening around us, this is the time that we have to be ready. This is the time that we have to put our houses in order. This is the time that we have to lit the candle and sweep the house and find that missing coin. Praise the Lord. When a woman is pregnant and the day of delivery is getting closer, they are always under expectation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. They are always under expectation. You know, the doctors will tell them the expected day of delivery. Is that right, sisters? The expected day of delivery. But that hour, that minute, that second, where the child will come out, nobody can tell. But they know the expected day of delivery. They know what is happening to their bodies. And so when the time is drawing near, in my own marriage experience, my wife will put all the things together and say, hey, when it's time, just grab this bag and we go. Because all that she will need when I take her to the hospital, she puts all in the bag ready. It's not when she gets into labor. That is not the time that she's running around looking for what. No, but she does all of it, puts all of it together. And he says, sweetheart, when the breaking of the water happens and I tell you it's time to go, just grab this bag and take me to the hospital. So the preparation has happened. Because she's under expectation, hallelujah, she gets herself ready. A woman going to be wedded? You can't tell me you don't know the wedding date. Hallelujah. If you are the real bride, you know the wedding date. Hallelujah. But that hour, that minute, that second, that the minister will pronounce you are husband and wife, nobody knows. But you know the date. You know the time that you are going to be wedded. Praise the Lord. So Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you because you are the bride. Of the times and the seasons, there's no need. Paul says, I don't have to remind you. Can we go verse 2? For you yourselves know perfectly. Oh, hallelujah. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them. You know, when the Berlin Wall broke down, everybody thought the Cold War was over. The Cold War was over. The world was going to know peace. There will be no more skirmishes. But things that have happened in the world since the Berlin Wall broke down is worse than when we had the Cold War. And the Eastern Bloc was afraid of the Western Bloc because they all had their nuclear weapons pointing to each other. At least there was some semblance of peace around the world. But since the Berlin Wall broke down, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As travel upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. By ye brethren, oh hallelujah, by ye saints, by ye believers, you are not in darkness, because the message is light. God's word is light. And when
you are walking in the light of the day, you are not in darkness for that day to overtake you as a thief in the night.
Praise the Lord.
But that hour, that minute, that second, none of us know. When in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. But we do know with certainty that we are living in the shadows of His coming. We do know because we know Revelation 10 has been fulfilled. And before Revelation 10 was fulfilled, He brought us a message. Says, is this the time? He was asking us because something unique, something scriptural was about to take place. Jesus himself said, when you shall see the Son of Man come down in a cloud and great glory, lift up your heads because your redemption draweth nigh. And so the prophet brought the message, says, is this the time? Is this the time for the fulfillment of Revelation 10, 1 to 7?
Praise the Lord. He preached. He told that the six visions. He told her the seven visions that he himself had had and how it kept it and how all of those things were fulfilled. And it was scripture being fulfilled. Hallelujah. It was scripture prophecies being fulfilled in that time. And that is what brought me or brings me to what the message David Akinsenya preached at that time. Or he read to us, what is that crashing on the mountain? The prophet said 3 years ago, this was a prophecy. What time is this? But now, it's history. It's past. But one thing Brother David pointed out to us, which has stayed with me till now, that after Brother Abraham has made all those statements, he said, as usual, the church is still in doubt. After he had declared, 3 years ago it was a prophecy. But now it's fulfilled, it's past history. But Abraham's very next statement was that the church is still in doubt. We're talking about living with expectation. Hallelujah. And that is how we ought to live our lives. In this day that we are living it. We read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You know, when we in the scripture unions, we had our own conception of what the rapture is. Oh, there'll be the driver driving the car, and he'll be raptured, and the car will crash, and then maybe the pilot will be a Christian and he will be raptured and the plane will crash. No, the Bible said it will be like a thief in the night. There will not be chaos when the Lord comes to take his people away. Amen. It will just be a secret catching away. But he said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the last week of Brother Abraham's life, this was the last but one Sunday message he preached on December the 5th, 1965. The following week, December the 12th, he preached communion, and that was the last message he preached. Communion. That was the last time Jesus got together with his people. But in preaching the message rapture, he told us three things. It's the Lord that does all three. Whilst he is descending, he descends with a shout. And the prophet said, what is the shout? I can't answer it. Pastor Martin can't answer it. Brother Sam can, none of us ministers can answer it. It takes the prophet because the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And the prophet is the revealer of divine interpretation of God's word.
that the shaft is the message going forth first. And in that same message, he said, it wasn't the task of the healings and the miracles. All along, I knew there was a message coming. I don't know about Nigeria, but in Ghana, in our villages, when the chief wants to give a message to the people, the linguists go around and beat the gongo. The gongo is to attract your attention that the chief has got a message coming. That was the whole essence of the gongo. That the chief has got a message he wants to bring to the people. So when they hear the gongo, everybody follows the linguist. And then they will go and gather at the chief palace or wherever they have the assembly point. And then the message comes. So the healings, the discernment, it was God beating his gongo. Hallelujah. That there's a message coming. And that message was the shout. Remember, it wasn't Brother Abraham. Revelation 10, hallelujah. The angel came down himself with the book opened. But there had to be a vessel here for him to be able to read and bring out what was in the book to us. The shout. The message going for first. Hallelujah. Then the voice of the resurrection. Typing when Jesus cried with a loud voice, and when the dead, those Old Testament saints rose up and showed themselves in Jerusalem. Then the trump, where the living saints and the risen saints gathered themselves together to meet the Lord in the air. So, church, we are in that rapture season. Hallelujah. We just waiting for the climax. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24. Verse 32. Matthew 24:32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put up of leaves, you know that summer is nigh. It's not yet summer. Hallelujah. But you know that summer is coming. In the northern hemisphere, they have got four seasons. They've got the winter, they've got the spring, they've got the summer, and they've got the autumn. So springtime is when all the snow melts. And when all of it melts, the cold is about to go away. So all the vegetation that appears to be dead, because the snow melts and the earth begins to warm up, all the trees begin to come back to life. They begin to put forth their buds. They begin to grow their leaves. And so when that happens, you know you are in springtime. When you see all the new leaves, you know you are in springtime. But what that is telling you is that the next season to come is summer. So Jesus is saying that when you see the fig leaves begin to put forth its branches, having new leaves, you know that summer is near. And you've got anything to do in summer, you don't wait till summer comes. But once you see the signs, you know you are in springtime, you begin to prepare yourself for anything you want to do in the summer. Living with expectation. Praise the Lord. So these things have happened in our time. I'll park them for now and I'll come to them again at the end of the message. In the scripture that we read, here was the old man Simeon. I love this Luke chapter 2. I love this so much. When I read about Simeon and Anna, way before I even got married. That I said, Lord, if I ever marry and you give me a son and a daughter, I'll name them Anna and Simeon. Praise the Lord.
So my first child was a girl, I named her Anna. My second child was a boy, I named him Simeon. Hallelujah. We didn't sort of talk about what is the name, what is the name. We agreed about it already. That is the name that we are going to give them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I love the story of Simeon and Anna. And here was Simeon, an old man. But he never missed church service. He was always present. Hallelujah. And the Bible says it was revealed to him. He lived in a day. 400 years have not been in the prophets. Then all of a sudden, John the Baptist comes around. Or John wasn't even born at the time. Born 6 months before Jesus Christ. But he lived in a time where there have not been messengers for 400 years. But just think about it. Because of his devotion to the things of God, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that, Simeon, you will not see death until your eyes have beheld the Lord's Christ. Praise the Lord. So here was the old man. He had an expectation. No matter what came his way, no matter the challenges that he faced, he knew that God has spoken to him. He had that conviction. He had that revelation that God has spoken to him. It doesn't matter what you told Simeon. He could be sick unto death. The doctor could pronounce him dead. But he knew one thing, that God has spoken to him, that he would not see death until he has seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, that kept Simeon going. No matter the challenge, that kept Simeon going. He knew that, look, God has spoken to me. And when God speaks to your heart, my brother, my sister, you don't care what the world says. When you carry the revelation of God's word, in John chapter 6, when Jesus was preaching and telling them about his body, the bread and the wine and all of those, the people left. In verse 67, Jesus said to the disciples, the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When the deep calls and the deep answers, Lord, hallelujah, nothing can shake you. I remember those early days. I went back to school and I met the patrons of the Scripture Union in my school. And they said, Isaac, we've heard, I've not told them, but they've heard that you have believed William Branham's message. Is that true? I said, sir, that is true. So they invited me to their home. To their homes to talk to me, to get it out of my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you see, what God does is beyond measure, beyond the imagination of everyone. Hallelujah. My dad had a lot of books. After all his death and everything, then I found the book Hebrews among his bookshelf. And I thought, this is why the old man told me, if you find anywhere that they believe this message and you want to move on, I won't stand in your way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This word that we have come to believe, church, make sure you have your own personal revelation. It's not because your pastor is here, or you are the son of the pastor, or you are the wife of the pastor, or your wife comes to church. Make sure you as an individual, you know what you have believed. They questioned me in and out. But I had read, I've not seen the Hebrew book at the time. My father had a lot of books. One of them was The Desire of Ages, Robert Noe. The Desire. So I read The Desire of Ages.
And there was a chapter that talked about end time signs. So I read that book. And they talk about Malachi 4. And it was a good exposition. Because when they talk about Malachi 4, they said, oh, some say it's John the Baptist, some say it's not John the Baptist. And so they tackle it. But the question was that they asked the question, is there a contradiction in the Bible? They said, no. So if Jesus said, if you receive it, this is the Elijah that was to come. And John the Baptist is saying that I am not Elias. They said there's no contradiction in those two statements. This was not a message book. And the reason why John said he was not Elijah, because John being a prophet, knew a specific prophecy of Malachi 4. So when they came to ask, he said, no, I am not that Elijah. And then, so why did Jesus say that if you receive it, this is Elijah to come? And they went to Luke chapter 1. And they showed that before John was born, the angel said he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. So if Jesus said John was Elijah, he was right. And if John said he wasn't Elijah, he was right. There was no contradiction. But they couldn't solve the problem. The chapter ended by saying that so there will be Elijah, that will be there. All the preachers at this end time preaching. It didn't sit down well with me. Because the Bible said, I will send you one, Elijah, the prophet. So I just left the book that way. So when I've read Anointed Ones at the End Time, I've read Recognizing Your DNA's message, I went to Brother Nathan. I said, have you got any book about the life of William Branham? So he gave me God the list, this book, William Branham, A Man Sent from God. Maybe a visitor here. I'm saying this thing can help you. We do not worship William Branham. We do not serve William Branham. William Branham is a prophet like Moses, a prophet like Jeremiah, a prophet like Ezekiel, a prophet like Isaiah that God used to bring his message to us in this our day. In the days of Noah, if you ignore Noah, you wouldn't go into the ark. It's just as simple as that. Noah only had a message from God. In the days of Moses, if you didn't believe in Moses, you wouldn't go in the Exodus. Because he alone met God at the backside of the desert and came with the message that God is going to take us away. Praise the Lord. Have your own revelation. They questioned me. They question me left and right. But prior to that, because I've read Gordon Lindsay's book, I read it to the point where it talked about what happened on the Ohio River. 1933. June. And that just settled my heart. So this is the Elijah that the Bible spoke of. So when they questioned me and they questioned me and they questioned me about the serpent seed, about predestiny, about things that I hardly knew anything about, I remember I looked at them, two of the patrons, one was called Mr. T.K. Mason, the other one was called Mr. Blake. I look at them and I say, sirs, what you are saying sounds reasonable. That out of the ground grew every tree. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it grew out of the ground. So how can it be? So I was just confused. But in all of it, what I told them was this. What you are saying appears reasonable. But there's one thing you have not been able to touch. That one thing is this. That William Branham is the prophet of Malachi 4. That is anchored in my soul. I have that revelation. You have not touched that. So all you are saying sounds reasonable. But If William Branham is the prophet of Malachi 4, he's the prophet like Moses. He's the prophet like Joshua. He's the prophet like Samuel. He's the prophet like Isaiah. Nobody questions them. So I may not understand some of these things that you are bringing up today, but if William Branham is a prophet, then whatever he preached must be the truth, because he's a word prophet. So sirs, I may not understand what you are saying and all the things that you are questioning me about, but I know one day I'll get to understand why he preached those things. So I said, no, sirs, I'm not going back. So the question was, then you have to step down, step away from being the president of the Scripture Union in your school. He says, no problem, I'll gladly do that. Just give me one moment with the executives. So I met all the executives of the Scripture Union in my school. And I told them that, look, I'm stepping away. But I have one message for them. Gamaliel said, leave these people alone. If it's of God, it will stand. If it's not of God, it will fail. At that time in the whole school, including myself, there were only 5 of us that has come to believe this message. And when you talk about the Scripture Union, you're talking about hundreds of people. But somehow they were scared of the 5 of us. Darkness is always scared of light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Simeon had something in him. And you must have that thing in you. You must know why you believe this message. You must know why you uphold the Bible the way you uphold it. Simeon believed it because the Holy Ghost has revealed to him. And when the Holy Ghost revealed the word of God to your heart, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Because you see that this is what God has spoken to you. So individual personal revelation is very, very important, crucial. It's your foundation. And that is why Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, some say you are this, some say you are that. But he says, but who do you say that I am? You must know the God that you are serving today. Praise the Lord. So no matter the challenge Simeon faced, he had one expectation. He knew that physical death can never touch him until his eyes have seen the Lord's rise. So whether he was challenged physically, no matter the trouble that he was going through, he always had an expectation that one day, oh, my back may be aching me today. Oh, maybe he was walking with a walking stick and everybody will laugh. And every Sunday he will write a testimony and give it to the teacher. I've got a testimony to give. And I can see the youth in the church beginning to knock. Oh, it's an old man. The same story again. Yes, the same story. He was never tired because God has spoken to his heart. Say glory, brothers. I've got a testimony. You know, the other day the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I won't die till I've seen the Lord's Christ. And when I went to the hospital and the doctor was saying the medical report said this, I didn't know whether the doctor knew what he was talking about. But the Holy Ghost has spoken to me. By the way, that doctor is past and gone. I'm still here. Simeon had a testimony. He lived through all his challenges because he had an expectation that he would not see the lost. He will not see death until his eyes have seen the Lord's Christ. Praise the Lord. Every Sunday when he went to the synagogue, it was like, could this be the day? And he would look at all the women coming to dedicate the children, and some with fine shawl and all of it. And he said, by the Holy Ghost, that don't kick him. But I can figure out one day he didn't feel like going to church. But somehow when he woke up that day, oh, I don't, my ache, But somehow there was a pool. There was a pool. So I have to make it to church. Even if I can't walk, I'll order an Uber. Whatever it is, I need to go to church. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will always lead you. Jesus said that there are so many things that I have to tell you, but I can't tell you all. But when He, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will lead you, He will guide you to all truth. The general Holy Ghost will always lead you back to the way. Praise the Lord. So that day he went to church. And as usual, a lot of families have come to dedicate their babies. 40 days they have to come and bring them to church. And Mary had come. And maybe Sister Mary got to church. And all the gossips. Oh, she's here today. You know, they tried to cover up the relationship between him and Joseph. They said this is Holy Ghost and whatnot. And everybody was speaking. And nobody would sit on the bench where Sister Mary sat. They didn't want to get associated with her. But when her time came, and she took her baby Jesus, going to the priest, she didn't have a sheep. So the other was to have either two pigeons or two turtle doves. Very humble. But he wanted to follow the word. He wanted to obey the word. So as he was going, and all everybody was just, nobody wanted to associate with her. The Holy Ghost just kicked the heart of Simeon. That is him. That is him. That is him. I can see the old man sitting at the back of the church. All of a sudden he got up. Say, sister, wait. Gently. Maybe just, he was 18 years old. Maybe gently walk in. Say, can I have the baby before you get into the priest? Oh, hallelujah. He was living with an expectation that he would not see death until his eyes have seen the Lord's Christ. And Mary handed Jesus over to him. Can we go to the scripture? In Luke chapter 2. Praise the Lord. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart. Lord, I am ready to give up the ghost. Hallelujah. I'm ready to depart this physical world because my eyes have seen the Lord's Christ. But prior to that time, he had an expectation that one day, if God says so, God is able to keep his word. And if you are here tonight, if God, there's a promise of God and you are holding on to it, remember that God is able to keep his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never, ever fail. Praise the Lord. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Hallelujah. Which you are prepared before the face of all people. Hallelujah. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Lord, please, if you want to come and take me home tomorrow morning, I'm ready. Even right now, you want to come and take me home. Lord, I am ready because my eyes have seen your glory. My eyes, your promise have been fulfilled. I can say that this day, this scripture, this prophecy has been fulfilled. Simeon was ready to give it up. But all through that, he lived with an expectation. And as believers, seeing all that is happening in this world, in this our day, in this our time, church, we must live with expectation that any day, any moment, we must be ready for our home going. Look at Noah. When the Lord came to him and said, Noah, Genesis 6, wickedness has filled the whole earth, but I am going to destroy the world with water. with rain. I want you to go and preach. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And you can see what God was asking Noah to go and preach. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not yet seen. Praise the Lord. You go back to Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. It tells us in Genesis 2, verse 5, that those days, water came as mist from the ground and watered the face of the earth. So Noah preaching and saying, hallelujah, that God was going to destroy the world with water. It was a new syllable. It was a new word that Noah was introducing. People asked Noah, what is rain? He said, well, I don't know. Because being one of God of things not yet seen. He didn't know what rain was. But God spoke, and he knew that was the voice of God. That heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never, ever fail. So Noah moved and started building the ark. Not by his own imagination, but by God's blueprint. And if you want to build your spiritual ark, it's not by your own imagination. It has to be by God's blueprint, the stage of a perfect man. Praise the Lord. The dimensions God gave it. And Noah stuck to those dimensions. Today people say that, oh, it doesn't matter whether however you are baptized. It matters. It does matter. If it didn't matter, God would have told Noah, build the ark. But he gave him the diamond, even the material to use. Because it matters to God. That is why he told them in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. As many as believe and are baptized in my name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How many sons are here? Let me see your hands. If you are a son, yeah. All right, can you lay down your hand? How many fathers are here? I see the same people raising their hands, but I don't see two people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many human beings are here? Everyone, you see? So you are a human being, you are a father, you are a son. As far as your parents are concerned, you are a son or a daughter. As far as your husband or wife is concerned, you are a husband or a wife. But you've got a name. And so when he was with Israel in the pillar of fire, that was the Father. But when he came down and embodied himself in a human being, a body that was born by virgin birth, he became son, one like of his own. And he said, I'm going, but I'll come back again. He came back as the Holy Ghost. That is not three people. That is one God revealing himself in three different attributes. Praise the Lord. So it does matter. Baptism must be by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the name of God. Praise the Lord. So Noah built the ark according to God's dimensions. By doing all of this, Noah had an expectation that one day there is going to come rain. That was why he always was hammering at the ark. That was why he was building that. Because he knew one day the rain will come. And he has to be prepared before the rain comes. But knowing that God has spoken and God will keep his word, it kept him going. 120 years, think about it. But he never staggered. There was no one day Noah thought that, oh, I don't think that God meant what he said. Praise the Lord. He went at it, and one day the rain came. As he was expected. Talk about Abraham. When God called him in Genesis chapter 12, he was 75 years old. Sarah was 65 years old. They've gone past childbearing age. Yet God gave them the promise, I will make you a father of many nations. Praise the Lord. And God said, live wherever you are and go to a land that I will show you. So the old man packed everything. And someone said, hey, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. But God spoke to me. He was an oddball. People would say, no, we have to take the old man to a psychiatrist. He wants to take him to the doctor. He's been hearing voices in his head. He said a voice spoke to him. But he knew that was the voice of God. He had to obey that voice. He has to leave father. He has to leave kindred. He has to leave all the world behind. And if you are coming to serve God, don't take a lot of things, brother, lot of you. Leave them behind. Because it was after Abraham separated from Lot. A lot of us, we become Christians and we carry a lot of things with us. Leave those things behind. Praise the Lord. But as Abraham walked, he was getting older. But Paul said he staggered not at the promise of God. He had an expectation that one day I will also be a dad. People laughed at him. Maybe one day he enters mother's care. And here was Mama Sarah by her. And they were walking down through the aisles. And I can see the shop attendant coming. He said, well, how can we help you, Grandpa, Grandma? Are you looking for something for your grandchildren? I said, no. We're looking for something for our own child. And I can see the shop attendant go and call the manager of the shop. Say, look, there are some old couple here. I think they want to cause trouble. Amen. Say, no. We're looking for something we expected. Could we imagine? We're expecting a child. Because God told us so. That is our expectation. Abraham knew that he would never give up the ghost until that child of promise came on the scene. He believed God. No matter what he went through, even at some point, Mama Sarah was doubted. But Abraham still believed. He still believed. And for God to honor his faith, when the promise was about to be fulfilled, God came down himself. Oh, hallelujah. He gave us a promise 2,000 years ago. That I am going to prepare a place for you. And after that, I'll come and receive you unto myself. That where I am, you may be there also. That was like Abraham the church. But when the time of the promise drew near, God came down. And he spoke to Abraham. And Abraham thought, I've heard this voice before. Abraham said, I've heard this voice before. Say, my Lord. And he said, where is Sarah, your wife? So she's in the tent behind you. Say, according to the time of life, Sarah is going to have a baby. Even Sarah laughed in her heart. Me, an old woman, going to have pleasure again with my man? No. But when God says anything, hallelujah, if you are a child of God, always believe the word of God. That was Abraham's expectation. Praise the Lord. So God came and did something. And after that, he left. Genesis 18. Genesis 19, Sodom was destroyed. Genesis 20, Abimelech sees this nearly 89-year-old woman. And Abimelech falls in love. with this 89-year-old woman. It took the prophet of God to tell us that there was a physical transformation. Because in this our day, we shall also be changed. That Sarah's body could not bear a childbirth. But God did something to Sarah. That when Abimelech, that young king, saw Sarah, he fell in love with her. He thought he could denominate her. He said, no, God said, no. This message will never and can never be denominated. Hallelujah. Because God is watching over his bride. He said, don't touch her. He's another man's wife. His husband is a prophet. Go to him and let him pray for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Just leave what you perceive to be mistakes in the life of the prophet. Leave that between the prophet and God alone. Let me repeat. What you perceive to be a mistake in the prophet's life, leave that to the prophet and God alone. Abimelech said, what didn't he say? He said, shh, he's my prophet. He is my prophet. If you go ahead, you are a dead man and your nation is gone. Praise the Lord. But Abraham had that expectation. And in God's own time, hallelujah, God fulfilled his word. We can call so many people in the Old Testament that live with an expectation. But let's come back to this our day. As I try to close tonight, what is your expectation? We must live with an expectation. When we see Revelation 10 fulfilled, what does that do to you? Praise the Lord. Let's read the scripture from Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 from verse 25. Luke 21. And they shall see signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Do you know the number one killer disease in the world is heart disease? But we don't see the reaction from the world like the way they tackle COVID. But how does this kill more people than COVID was killing? Amen. Men starts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man. Not son of God, not son of David, but son of man. Prophetic ministry. Coming in the cloud and with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption is near. What is your expectation tonight? Look at all the things that have happened. 1933, the seven visions of the prophet. And how he said there's going to be the rise of a woman in America. Cruel. He said that could be the rise of the Roman Catholic Church. Yes. You know why America was formed? Because the Protestants were running away from Catholic denomination in Europe. They wanted a place to go where they can worship God freely. And that is how they found a new found land. They call it the United States. But the Catholics pursued them there. And in all the nearly 250 years of the history of the United States, there have been only two Roman Catholic presidents. John F. Kennedy and the last one, Biden. The rise of the Roman Catholic Church. When Donald Trump went to Rome, When the Pope passed, they interviewed, said, why are you going to Rome? Because you disagreed with the Pope. So I'm going to Rome to pay my last respect because I won the election because of the Catholic votes. So yeah, I may disagree with the Pope that has passed, but it was the Catholic votes that put me in the White House. That is why I'm going also for the funeral to show my respect. When the prophet said so many years ago that it could be the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, today we see it. He spoke about the fact that there will be an American Pope. It looks so far-fetched. And when the current Pope passed away and they were talking about the potential successes, Pope Leo was not even one of them. Because he came from America. But God is fulfilling his word in this our day. And he chose the name Leo. When he came the first time, he came with a virgin sign. And he's coming the second time as the lion, the tribe of Judah, Leo, the sign of the lion. You see how the devil tried to get ahead of Christ? Impersonate him all the time? But all these things are happening. He spoke about prophecy, about possibly a woman president or vice president. And we saw it happen. Dressed in the same purple dress during the inauguration. Church, God has done a lot in this our day. That when we wake up every morning, like the song says, could this be the day? We must live with an expectation that our home going is drawing near. If you want to marry, go ahead and marry. I'm not saying don't shelve your marriage plans. If you want to go to school, go to school. Whatever it is you want to do, but live your life knowing that any minute, any hour, any second, the Lord could come. And when he does come, we must be ready as his bride. He showed us all of these things. We have seen all of these things. The world knows nothing about it. We've seen the sign of the Son of Man coming in the cloud in great glory. Even it took a while when the sun, it happened. Until 1965, when the prophet was preaching his last Easter message, it is the rising of the sun. That was the first time he spoke about that cloud. So have you seen the cloud, the picture we have there? He said, we have been looking at it the wrong way. But if you turn it this way, say, can you see the face of Christ? Hallelujah. Can you see his eyes? But that was Revelation 10 being fulfilled. When he came down, clothed with church, we must live with expectation in our hearts. Because when the time of the child drew near, remember, Elohim came down and spoke to Abraham the type of the church. And once again, in this our day, as the sign, the sign of the promised son draws nearer and nearer, God has come down in this our day to echo to every one of us that it is home going time. It is time to leave this world behind. In the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed. The dead in Christ will rise up again. And when we see that, we know that this is the resurrection body. My prayer is that, Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me. Make me ready. This is the time to be ready. This is the time of Luke chapter 15. Lead the candle, sweep the house, and find that missing virtue. Shall we rise to our feet? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Right and true.
be elevated, sanctuary for. Shall we sing it one more time? Lord, prepare. Oh, let that be your prayer tonight. That Lord, prepare me tonight. Help me to lay aside every way that easily beset the Lord. I want to run with perseverance this way that is set ahead of me. Lord, help me to lay aside everything else. Lord, that I surrender to you. Lord, I show my life to you. Seeing that these things are happening around us, Lord. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me. Oh, to be your dwelling place. Lord, prepare me, Lord. Oh, to be ready for that moment, that hour. Why don't you talk to the Lord in your own way? That Lord, prepare me. Not only tonight, but Lord, prepare me every day. Lord, prepare me every hour. Lord, help me. Oh, yes, Lord, draw me near to you. Lord, draw me closer to you. Draw me nigh to the cross where thou hast died. Why don't you talk to the Lord tonight? Lord, lift me up. Lord, lift me out of the miry clay. Jehovah Savior, help me tonight. Cry out. We started by singing, reach out and touch the Lord. Why don't you reach out and touch the Lord tonight? Don't let him pass by you tonight. Say, Lord, hear my humble cry tonight. Lord, don't pass by me tonight. While on others thou art calling, Lord, hear my cry also tonight. He's ready to hear you. He's ready to reach out to you. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Lord, like the woman at the well, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Touch me tonight, Lord. Empty me of every pride. Empty me of all the isms. Empty me of everything of the world. And Lord, come. I want you to let my heart become your throne. Where you can reign and rule. And have dominion. Just talk to your maker. Talk to the King of Kings. Talk to the Lord of Lords. That Lord, here I am. Lord, touch me tonight. Lord, let your transforming power be my portion tonight. Lord, I am coming to the cross of Calvary tonight. Oh, reach out and touch me, Lord. Reach out and touch me, Lord, tonight. Lord, stir up my heart. Lord, stir up the revelation of yourself to me. Let me see the closeness of your coming.
The cross where I We have heard his word. We had a testimony, first of all, from God's servant.
The way Jehovah drew him to himself,
opened his eyes to this
great truth
in a special way that nothing could take it away from him. And he could stand before leaders, great people, with humility but with courage and boldness because of the revelation of God, and he took his stand. That is what revelation does. What expectation do we have as individuals? Are you expecting the rapture? Are you expecting that with all that is happening on daily basis, that Christ may appear any moment? Are we getting ready? Are we getting prepared? If it should happen tonight, are you sure you'll be part of the rapture? While we bow our heads and our eyes are closed, if you have any requests known to you only and between you and God, and you'd like to be remembered, the prayer, will you just lift up your hand to God? I don't need to know your request. Only God needs to know the reason why you lift up your hand and your request in your heart. Because our God that you have heard spoken about, who has displayed himself in different categories through the scriptures and in our own generation, he promised to be here in our midst when his word is declared in truth and righteousness. And he's looking at our heart, looking at our request. He has answered to everyone, if thou canst only believe. Lift up your hand unto God as a sign of surrender unto God, and then we offer a word of prayer. Dear Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, we are grateful unto you for this privilege to sit before your word and hear you spoke to us very simple and great, with great power and authority and with your great inspiration. Lord, it was so simple that in the way it came, it's easy for everybody to catch. We are very grateful unto you. Thank you, Lord, for several scriptures, examples and things that was brought out, and references in the message that were referred to present this picture before us. We thank you. After you are through speaking to us, we have spoken back unto you, and you are the only one that knows what individual of us has spoken to you about. And Lord, hands are up now everywhere, representing one request or the other. Your children defiling the law of gravity that says our hands should be down. But now it is hope to show our surrender unto you and also our request before the throne of mercy. We are asking at this time, thou Almighty God, that say we should ask and we shall receive, and we should seek and we will find, and that when we knock, it shall be opened unto us. May you open unto us tonight the door of mercy, the door of revelation, the door of grace, the door of faith, the day of deliverance, the door of victory, the door of heavenly blessings. Grant our requests. Grant our desires. Meet our needs. Grant unto us all our expectations in the name of Jesus Christ. You are the same God, Lord, that your people of old that live under expectation, Lord, that they saw the result. We can read it now. It's now history. It's a testimony to us. It's reference points that we use as preaching and as encouragement unto us. And we are compassed about with clouds of witnesses. These are men and women that live with expectation in their own time. This is our own time.
We also have expectation. We have lived for years, and we have watched prophecies fulfilled from true source come to pass literally all over the world. The devil himself cannot deny. We thank you. There has never been a message like this since the beginning of the creation, because it is the summary of the entire earth history. We thank you. Dear Jesus, we leave ourselves in your hands. If there be anyone here who does not understand these things clearly, or whose revelation is slow to these things, we pray you help such a person. You are the one that opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. May you open our eyes. Give us grace, Father. Draw us closer unto yourself. Put us where we ought to be, Father. If there be any of us that are born as eagles, but somehow still find themselves among the chickens, may you bring them out, dear Father. Thank you, dear Master. Blessed be your wonderful name. Whatsoever need is behind the hands of your children, may everything be met, dear Father. May you solve every problem. May you answer every question. May you deliver the oppressed. May you heal the sick and the afflicted. Fill with the Holy Spirit, dear Father. Take the saints to higher heights, Lord. Show mercy unto your people. Thank you, dear Father. We are grateful unto you for your servant, the vessel that you brought, and you have used in this wonderful way in the beginning of these 2 days of 3 services. As you have started wonderfully with us, we know that on Sunday we'll still be more glorious. May you replenish his strength tonight, lift up the honor of his ministry, prepare him for the services ahead of him. When we come on Sunday, may there be great outpouring of your blessings upon us. Thank you, dear Father. Take us back home safely tonight. Give us a peaceful night rest. Give us a wonderful weekend, Lord. Bring us back refreshed on Sunday, Lord. Lord, with the expectation of a greater blessing. Thank you, dear Father. We would like to commit the family of your servant behind, whether in UK, wherever they are, and the church left back in Ghana. May you watch over them, dear Father. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I call. We are grateful to the Lord for this foretaste. It tastes like honey. Then we are in expectation for Sunday. May the Lord be with us and bless us. Brother David, God bless you. You are here again. Brother David, you are greeting. God bless you. All right. So, Mr. Robert, thank you for coming. We expect you also on Sunday. We will talk more now. Shalom. God bless you. Shall we rise? 198. It's coming soon. I think that is.
In this, that was the days of. let it fail.